Father, we come again to give you our praise for the great privilege you give to your people to be entrusted with the souls of little ones, as parents to be given the awesome responsibility but great honor to be molding and fashioning little lives. Lord, we feel the inadequacy of all of that. You know the needs we have, and even as we come now to your word just briefly, we pray that you would give us understanding and help us to see what you've got to say that even relates to these things now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to just very briefly address what I'm calling parental authority, and just introduce it with the background for us to think about the context of our culture. You know this. This is your culture, it's my culture. In the eyes of many Aussies, the concept of authority is not one viewed, I would say, with favour. So there might be various responses to authority, like there's a lot of suspicion about anyone in authority. Then others would perhaps just simply equate authority with dictatorship. Or perhaps it's the hurt of the past, of how I've been affected by someone in authority, that it can leave me with a spirit almost of cynicism toward authority. And then, of course, the reality is we all have sinful, selfish, rebellious hearts within us. We are all wanting to do what is right in our own eyes. And authority just restrains me. Authority just cramps my choices. It restricts my freedoms, that whole thinking that's part of our sinful nature. And of course we know, especially living in a Western culture in this generation, it has a strong individualistic mindset, like, I don't care who you are, but you're not going to tell me what to do. I rule my life and I make my own decisions. And so just putting all of that in front of you, this is the society in which we live. We breathe that atmosphere in our culture. Authority is out of fashion. Parental authority is frowned upon in our culture. And so Christian parenting, it's a difficult task, but it is made all the more difficult if parents, Christian parents, lack a clear understanding of their God-given authority to fulfill the assignment that God has given them to raise godly offspring. And so I think in a day like this, we should at least raise this issue of parental authority. Now, there's many things, obviously, that could be said. I'm going to quickly try and just raise three things. And the first one is, as we think of parental authority, we must understand it's a delegated authority. Jesus says, Matthew 28, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. And so all authority on earth is a delegated authority. And I'm sure many of you realize that God has delegated, as it were, these authority in three main realms: civil authority, family authority, and the church. If we just quickly open our Bibles to the book of Romans, And though the Romans chapter 13 would be, I ask where you to turn, Romans 13 obviously is honing in especially on the issue of civil authority. And that's not the reason for us to look at it. But there are principles in this passage that I believe you can see that are like a helpful summary that we can see apply to all the realms. So just quickly, the opening verses of Romans 13. Let every soul be subject to the government authorities. There it's stated. Four, there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. And so bringing out the principles that we see there, I believe they can be applied in all three realms. It's a delegated authority, and therefore, yes, even for parents, there is that sense in which we are responsible to the one who delegated that authority. We are answerable to God, is my point. The one given the authority then, entrusted to them, is responsible and has the right to exercise that authority entrusted into their hands over his or her subjects. The authority that has been given is limited to the realm in which it has been given, and I'll touch on that in a minute. But you know what I'm talking about, I hope. The father in the family is to lead his family. And that's for him to lead his family. It's not his right to come into your family and to try and lead your family. That's not the realm in which he's been given that authority. Parents have a God-given authority to embrace God's standards in their home over their children. And those that resist that authority are in the end resisting the God who gave it. Verse 2, therefore whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. And so as parents, may I quickly say by way of application, this is a great thing to teach your children. This is a great thing to teach them as they become teenagers. That when they are tempted to rebel and to buck your authority, for you to help them understand that this authority ultimately comes from God, and for them to reject your authority is ultimately them rejecting God's authority. The parental authority has been given for the protection, for the nurture, for the development, for the blessing of their children. And any problems concerning authority per se are not the fault of God's principles, but they're due to the failure to function properly according to God's word. God's ways always bring blessings. But to step away from God's ways and his perspectives of even how to exercise these things will bring consequences that are negative. And so, by way of application, parents, you have been given authority by God. I'll say it bluntly and quickly. Use it. It's been given to you by God for the benefit and the sake of your children. If you don't use it and you let them lead and become the authority, you will suffer and they will suffer. You have been given a trust by God. It's a great honor to be a parent. You as a parent, therefore, are to submit to the God who gave you that role to do and to do what he says as a parent. And by parents submitting to God's authority in this area, they are, as I kind of mentioned this morning, they are modeling what submission looks like before God. And so you can say to the children, I'm doing what God tells me to do. You're submitting to God yourself. And so back in Proverbs, the reason we read Proverbs is because I think there's a very helpful text in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. And it's what I want to raise now in Proverbs 6 verse 20. It's one place we can go. Proverbs 6:20 says, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother." The father has a command and the mother has a law. In other words, the role of parenting is a shared role. Parental authority is to be shared in action. And so that's why Ephesians 6 and verse 1 that we read this morning can very rightly be put alongside this to show that this is what God wants. Ephesians 6, 1, "Children, obey your parents," not just your father. "Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Yes, the father is the head of the home. As we know, the previous chapter teaches that he is the one who is the head over the wife. But in the realm of parenting, he's not the sole ruler. And so when this is worked out, I think we should think about that text. Can two walk together unless they agree? Can two parents do the task of parenting unless they agree? You know the answer. So parents must communicate. Parents must be acting in unison even when it comes to the application of their authority in their family. Maybe the dad's a bit hard. And so maybe mum could be tempted to think, "I should compensate here." So she goes soft on little Johnny or Mary. "I'm sorry, darling. I'm sorry daddy's treating you like this. Oh, mummy loves you. Don't listen to him. Don't tell him what you just did. It's okay. Mummy's here." That will be a disaster. You must communicate. You must work together in your joint authority as mother and father. Yes, dad must take the lead, but that doesn't mean dad does everything. In many cases, mum's the one who's there most of the time. So she's got to be involved in this action. Work together as mum and dad. It's vital. Proverbs 6, verse 20. "My son, keep your father's command. My son, do not forsake the law of your mother." And so when the parent speaks, when the parent gives a direction, when the parent gives a command, it's binding on the children. Unless, of course, what they say is contrary to God's word, they've been given the authority to lead and to give direction. And I would gently say to you, none of this, "I'm going to count to three." I would suggest a better way is that your word is binding. They must learn to listen. And maybe listen, look, or look, listen, and obey. Obey the authority straight away. One of the ways we would, back in the day when we had younger children, to delay to obey is to disobey. Now, they may not have heard you, and of course, did they hear you? But generally speaking, delay to obey can be just simply disobey. Parents, God has delegated authority to you. That's my simple point. It's delegated authority, then use it. Now, of course, that needs clarity, right? There's so many questions that could just flood in after that point. And so, secondly, it's a limited authority. It's authority given in relation to the task. The government has been given their authority to rule in the land. According to Romans 13, verse 3 and 4, it tells us what their realm and what their role is to be with that authority. Elders, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, tells us the realm and the rule that they have and the focus of what that is to mean. They're two studies in themselves. Our focus is parental authority. Parents are to do what specific task? Well, we talked about it this morning in that passage, really in Ephesians chapter 6 and in Deuteronomy chapter 6. But here in Ephesians 6 verse 4, bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. God's rule over us as his people is for our good. Civil authority is given, we could argue, for our good. Parental authority, or parents are to rule, for children's good. And therefore, parents are never to abuse their God-given authority. They are not to use that authority in any way that would harm their children. Harm defined biblically, not by the world. And so, yes, authority can be applied, but it mustn't be given as a power or some authority that you think you could direct them into sin. God hasn't given you authority for that purpose. Bring them up, train them up in what? In the admonition of the Lord. That which comes from the Lord, it's through his word, that's how he reveals his mind, and ultimately it's for the Lord. And so there is a limit to this authority. And the last thing that I want to raise is just a couple of other points of qualification, what I'm calling an applied authority. And again, still in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul, it seems, knew the potential of some of the fathers in the church in Ephesus that they may misapply their authority. And so he gives this direction in verse 4, doesn't he? And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Now, perhaps the backstory to this is that in Roman law, there was a law called in English father power. That gave to those who were full Roman citizens, who were fathers or heads of their homes, the right to do with their wives, children, or if they had slaves, as they wanted. They could beat them, they could sell them, they could even kill them if he wished. That was acceptable to Roman law. And Paul is wanting to make sure the Christians understand God's perspective of authority for even the father. Don't think that you're going to just be able to do what you want with your children. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Don't exasperate your children by your harshness or your unrealistic expectations, perhaps, because of their age. Never tolerate disobedience, Paul would want us to understand, but make sure it is disobedience. It's not ignorance, or it's not just childishness. Now, who's our model? God's our model. Our Lord Jesus, yes, but God the Father is always our perfect model. And Hebrews 12 says in verse 6, the Lord loves those he disciplines. Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, or I discipline. And so love is the motive when God the Father disciplines us. And so true love must be the motive even for the parent, be it the father or even the mother. And so parental authority, I put it like this, is to be shrouded in love, true biblical love, not fleshly softness. And the last thing I want to leave you to think about from the scriptures is parental authority is to be and can be instilled in hope. Here in Ephesians 6, what's the hope? Great promises here, isn't there, for parents? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. There is hope built into this. Obey this and look at what God in his providence can do. And I want to turn you to one last text. Proverbs, please. To a very unfashionable subject. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Directed to parents who are given the authority by God to rule their children, to train them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, as the New Testament helps us to further understand, verse 13 says, do not withhold correction from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Often people get caught at verse 13 and don't see the promise and the hope of verse 14. Faithfully, wisely, lovingly using the rod of correction has a glorious hope built into it. You will help your children to understand the concept of authority, that ultimately there is an authority that they are answerable to above you. And if done wisely and lovingly with understanding, you will help them to understand that there is this concept of right and wrong and justice. And so with instruction, obviously, and understanding with the gospel, you can bring to bear on these things. And so as you use your parental authority, it can be used in the God-honoring way with a true sense of hope as you pray for God to bless your parenting. And there are many people in previous generations, and I can stand before you by the mercy of God to say God does bless faithful parenting. In his own sovereign way, he does do these promises that we've just seen in these two verses. So there's a delegated authority, a limited authority, and it's applied authority with these qualifications and with these blessed hopes. I want to pray for you now before we have our Q&A, specifically for those of you who are parents. God might help you.